We come now to God's Word in Ezekiel chapter 33. And we'll read Ezekiel 33 verses 1 through 33. That's the entire chapter. And to help you in understanding while we read, the watchman or the one who blows the trumpet or is supposed to blow the trumpet would be the prophet Ezekiel. So that's who's being described there. Or really any prophet, but here specifically is Ezekiel. So Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 1 through 33. These are the words of the living and true God. So give your attention to them, for they are His words. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the sons of your people and say to them, If I bring a sword upon a land and the people of the land take one man from among them and make him their watchman, and he sees the sword coming upon the land and blows on the trumpet and warns the people, then he who hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning and a sword comes and takes him away, his blood will be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet but did not take warning. His blood will be on himself. But had he taken warning, he would have delivered his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet and the people are not warned, and a sword comes and takes a person from them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require from the watchman's hand. Now as for you, son of man, I have appointed you a watchman for the house of Israel. So you will hear a message from my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you will surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require from your hand. But if you on your part warn a wicked man to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he will die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your life. Now as for you, son of man, say to the house of Israel, Thus you have spoken, saying, Surely our transgressions and our sins are upon us, and we are rotting away in them. How then can we survive? Say to them, As I live, declares the Lord God, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn back from your evil ways. Why then will you die, O house of Israel? And you, son of man, say to your fellow citizens, The righteousness of a righteous man will not deliver him in the day of his transgression. And as for the wickedness of the wicked, he will not stumble because of it in the day when he turns from his wickedness. Whereas a righteous man will not be able to live by his righteousness on the day when he commits sin. When I say to the righteous, he will surely live, and he so trusts in his righteousness that he commits iniquity, none of his righteous deeds will be remembered. But in that same iniquity of his which he has committed, he will die. But when I say to the wicked, you will surely die, and he turns from his sin and practices justice and righteousness, if a wicked man restores a pledge, pays back what he has taken by robbery, walks by the statutes which ensure life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of his sins that he has committed will be remembered against him. He has practiced justice and righteousness. He shall surely live. Yet your fellow citizens say, The way of the Lord is not right, when it is their own way that is not right. When the righteous turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, then he shall die in it. But when the wicked turns from his wickedness and practices justice and righteousness, he will live by them. Yet you say, The way of the Lord is not right. O house of Israel, I will judge each of you according to his ways. Now in the 12th year of our exile, on the 5th of the 10th month, the refugees from Jerusalem came to me, saying, The city has been taken. Now the hand of the Lord had been upon me in the evening before the refugees came, and he opened my mouth at the time they came to me in the morning. So my mouth was opened, and I was no longer speechless. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, they who live in these waste places in the land of Israel are saying, Abraham was only one, yet he possessed the land. So to us who are the many, the land has been given as a possession. Therefore say to them, thus says the Lord God, you eat meat with the blood in it, lift up your eyes to your idols as you shed blood, should you then possess the land? You rely on your sword, you commit abominations, and each of you defiles his neighbor's wife. Should you then possess the land? Thus you shall say to them, thus says the Lord God, as I live, surely those who are in the waste places will fall by the sword, and whoever is in the open field I will give to the beasts to be devoured. And those who are in the strongholds and in the caves will die in pestilence. I will make the land a desolation and a waste, and the pride of her power will cease, and the mountains of Israel will be desolate so that no one will pass through. Then they will know that I am the Lord, when I make the land a desolation and a waste because of all her abominations which they have committed. But as for you, son of man, your fellow citizens who talk about you by the walls and in the doorways of the houses, speak to one another, each to his brother, saying, come now and hear what the message is which comes forth from the Lord. They come to you as people come and sit before you as my people and hear your words, but they do not do them. For they do the lustful desires expressed by their mouth, and their heart goes after their gain. Behold, you are to them like a sensual song by one who has a beautiful voice and plays well on an instrument. For they hear your words, but they do not practice them. So when it comes to pass, as surely it will, then they will know that a prophet has been in their midst. That is God's word. And so you remember for many chapters, Ezekiel has been commissioned to bring the Lord's promises of judgment to the surrounding nations. Remember to Assyria and Babylon and Tyre and Sidon and Egypt and like them. But now having finished those promises of judgments to those nations, the Lord through Ezekiel now returns to addressing the covenant people of God and speaks first to reveal to the people the responsibilities of the prophet or the watchman or this trumpet blower who's described here. And if the watchman doesn't warn the people as directed, he will be guilty and he will die. The prophet therefore must do his duty. But if he does do his duty and warns the people according to the word of the Lord and people do not turn back to the Lord from their iniquity, from their sin, then they will die in their iniquity and be guilty of their sin. And so, beloved, as the elders today, applying it to today, the elders have responsibility to warn you of your sins, that you must turn from them to Christ. You also have the responsibility to hear and obey the word that you hear, lest you too be judged. And the elder too, if he does not speak it to you, he too will be judged. That's through verse 9. Then through verse 20, the warning must be given to the people that if the wicked repent, they will not perish. And so here's the Lord's mercy. Say, if you repent, he will show mercy and you will live forever. You will not die. And yet if the righteous apostatizes, that's what he's describing here. When he says that the righteous sins or the righteous falls into iniquity. If the righteous apostatizes and continues in sin but does not turn back to the Lord, then he's not righteous. And he will die and perish forever. And then through verse 29, there are those in the land, the promised land, who are dwelling secure there. And this is after Jerusalem has been destroyed. After the Lord has brought the great judgment to Judah and Jerusalem, and the people should have seen how great their wickedness was and turned back to the Lord. And yet, there are those in the land still who are dwelling secure. They are still in their sin. They have not turned back to the Lord. If they were turning back to the Lord, they would be in great sorrow and weeping and crying out to the Lord. And then those who were receivers of Ezekiel's ministry, the last few verses serve as a rebuke to those who were not sincere in their professions. Sometimes we kind of see in the church as those who profess faith but are not sincere in their profession. And here it talks about that they hear, they listen, they receive, but they don't practice what was preached. They don't speak in such a way as to, in accordance with the Word of God. They don't therefore live in accordance with the Word of God. And he says to such will come judgment. And so that is promised here. And so, beloved, we are called here to hear the Word, receive it, and live it out in Christ. If you're an elder, then you are called to preach the Word, to teach the Word, boldly and with authority from God alone. Exactly what it says in the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, we do not at all desire to be judged. And yet our wicked hearts, the fleshly hearts that remain, still often sin against you, and we don't hate sin great enough. And we don't love righteousness good enough. We don't love you well enough. There is nothing that we can claim to be a righteousness that would earn us anything before you. For our righteousness, even before you, is as filthy rags, as the prophet says. And so, Father, we ask that you would show mercy to us in Christ Jesus, who is the only righteous one. Again, apart from him, we can do nothing. And we are nothing apart from him. But those who are deserving of death forever. But we're thankful that with him, and the mercy that you show here in speaking to these people, it is the same mercy that you show to us every Lord's Day as we hear your word, and as we hear the gospel, and we hear about your grace and mercy that alone we find in Christ. We thank you for your mercy for speaking to us and reminding us that if we don't turn back to you from our sin, then we will perish forever. But by the Spirit, if we do turn back to you from our sin, the sin which is covered in Christ by his blood, then you will receive us and you will grant us life forever. And Father, we're thankful for those here, Lord willing, all of us whom you have saved and called unto yourself, brought us to yourself. You've granted us your word, and you've granted us faith to believe your word and the gospel and your Son. And so in that, Father, we ask that you would preserve us to the end. And as we've been hearing in the book of Philippians, that you would sanctify us and perfect us on the right day, that we would be glorified in your Son, as we heard last week, not only in soul, but in body too. Lord, we look forward to that day when we'll be with you forever. There'll be no more sin, and our bodies will be perfect, without pain or sickness or illness. And we long most especially for heaven, which is Jesus. Being with Jesus is heaven. And we long for that now. Father, we pray for, as you command us, we pray for those in authority over us, our governing authorities, authorities in the church or in our home, that you would grant salvation to each one, that you would cause them to rule according to your word, and you would bring us many blessings through it. Not that we hope in government, but we hope in your promises, that you'll even continue allowing us to worship freely, that the gospel would continue and be spread, that many would believe and be saved. Many even in our own families, our children, our grandchildren, our parents, grandparents. Father, grant salvation, even as you speak through us, your children, by your Holy Spirit, change hearts and cause them to be born from above. And Father, as we struggle in our faith, we ask that you would help our unbelief and sanctify our hearts. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.